Your twitchy palm?
As you know, it's perpetually twitchy, and not been used to its full potential of late.
Stop, you're making me moist.
What? Moist? I clear my throat. Miss Steele, that word should only be reserved for cakes. I like you wet.
I like that you like me wet.
Her voice is almost inaudible. I shift in my chair. 5 p.m., I whisper.
How can you make three syllables sound so alluring?
It's a curse.
It's a gift.
Her voice is husky. Damn, but she has an answer for everything. See you at 5, Anna. Laters, baby. I'm on top of the world. She giggles in that delightful way she does, and it takes all my willpower to hang up. I bound out of my chair feeling effervescent. Flirting with Anna is always a joy, and so is discussing the latest prototype of the GEH solar tablet with Fred and Barney. I head out of my office, wondering if I should have studied engineering at school. As I'm eating my lunch, my phone flashes with Elliot's goofy face. Bro? Hey, dude, we still on for later today? Yes, Anna and I are looking forward to it. Cool. He pauses. What is it? I ask. Gia? She'll be there too. He scoffs. Like that would ever be a problem. I'm talking bachelor party hotshot Saturday. Elliot, don't be an uptight asshole. He interrupts. It's happening, even if I have to kidnap you. Fuck. No ifs or buts, bro. I've got the construction crew on standby with duct tape and a cargo van. Suck it up. My sigh is as exaggerated as I can make it. Elliot laughs. What's the worst that can happen? I don't know, Elliot. It depends what you have planned. It will take your mind off your woes. Woes? What fucking woes? I don't know, someone trying to kill you? Oh yes, that. You're so crass. Hard to believe we've been raised by the same people. He laughs. Laters, dude. And he hangs up. Asshole. But he has a point. Welch has made no further progress in uncovering Charlie Tango's saboteur. I've fired the entire team responsible for her care and maintenance, and I'm still waiting for the report from the NTSB. I'm beginning to wonder if the original FAA assessment was hasty in suspecting malicious interference, or if the damage was a random act of vandalism. Both these outcomes are possible, and give me a modicum of hope. But I don't want to drop my guard yet. Anna's safety is all that I care about. I've had security ramped up around the GEH Gulfstream, and she's been on 2 test flights since Charlie Tango's demise. She'll be taking us to Europe for our honeymoon. I'm still waiting to hear from Burgess about the yacht, but I have my fingers crossed that I'll get the one I want. I imagine Anna stretched out on deck in a bikini. Wait, does she own a bikini? I don't remember including swimwear in the clothes the personal shopper at Neiman Marcus sourced for Anna. That was a lifetime ago. As my wife, Anna is going to need more clothes for her vacation, functions, her work. I scroll through my contacts, and when Caroline Acton's name appears, I press call. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele, July 18th, 2011, 1522. Dedicated follower of fashion. My darling Anastasia, I have made an appointment for us to meet Caroline Acton at 10:30 on Saturday morning to furnish you with a new wardrobe for our honeymoon. No arguments, please. Christian Gray, CEO.
From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray, July 18th, 2011, 1527. Threads? Me? Argue? Do I need a new wardrobe? I don't think so. I have plenty of clothes. See you at 5 p.m. A. Kiss.
I frown. This is not going to be easy. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele, July 18th, 2011, 1529. New threads. Yes, you do. Christian Gray, CEO.
From Anastasia Steele to Christian Grey, July 18th, 2011, 1532. Men with more money than sense. Is brevity the soul of wit? Anna.
From Christian Grey to Anastasia Steele, July 18th, 2011, 1533. That's me. Yes. Wink. Christian Grey, CEO.
From Anastasia Steele to Christian Grey, July 18th, 2011, 1534. Grrr. I am late for my meeting. Stop being so funny. Laters, baby. A. Kiss, kiss.
My phone buzzes. Yes, Sam. Christian, Star Magazine has gotten hold of some shots of Anastasia and want to run a story on her. A rags-to-riches kind of thing. What the fuck? I know. What kind of shots? Nothing salacious. Thank fuck. Wait. There shouldn't be any salacious shots of Anna, should there? Tell them to fuck off. Rope Roz in. Threaten them with legal action. Sam takes a deep breath. They'll be published while you're away on your honeymoon. The photos are okay. If you want my advice, let them run and ignore them. It will be more of a story if you don't. I can almost hear his I told you so vibe over the phone. He wanted us to do a photo shoot. Maybe I should have conceded. Hell. Send me what you have. I snap. Fucking paparazzi. A moment later, his email pops up in my inbox, and I read the attachment quickly. Grudgingly, I admit he might be right. It's not that bad. And the photographs of Anna are okay, if grainy. But they also have her yearbook photo. She looks cute and young. I call him. Let me think about this. At the new house, we follow Gia Matteo through each room.
I love the staircase,
she enthuses.
I'm not surprised you want to retain it.
She beams at me as if it were my idea. Sweetheart, I wanted to knock this house down and build something new. It's Anna who has fallen in love with the old place.
I love the period features,
Anna asserts. Gia flashes her a smile.
Of course,
she says. We follow her into the main living area. Elliot hangs back. He's uncharacteristically quiet, and I wonder if it's because he has a sexual history with Ms. Matteo. I don't know. She's vocal, with some out-of-the-box ideas, and I remember meeting her briefly when she did the renovation to my house in Aspen. She did a fantastic job on that.
I love this room,
Gia says when we enter the main living room.
It has an airy quality that I think we should embrace.
She reaches over and pats my arm. Damn. I've spent my life subtly maneuvering myself out of anyone's reach. It's a self-defense mechanism that I've cultivated over the years to keep people out of my space and make them back the hell off. A step here, a slide to the side there, angling my shoulders left or right to avoid physical contact. I have it down to a fine art. I hate to be touched. No, I fear it. Except by Anna, of course. Kickboxing has helped. I can tolerate the rough and tumble of a match and a firm handshake, or the bite of a cane or a lash. Don't think about that. But that's it. In addition, I've developed a fuck-off-don't-touch-me glare that's proven effective. However, not on Gia Matteo. She's fucking touchy-feely. It's irritating, and not only with me. She reaches out to Elliot as he enters the main living room and gives him what can only be described as a carnal smile as she takes his arm. Elliot gapes at her cleavage, which is on show for all of us. Anna notices, and I see a frown cross her face. I wonder if what my brother says about Ms. Matteo is true. She's a woman who doesn't take no for an answer, one of those overtly sexual, tactile women who disregards all boundaries, a bit like Elena. The unpleasant thought pops into my head and makes me pause. I don't remember Gia being that way when we met a couple of years ago. Stop overthinking this, Gray. But as we walk through the house, I find myself putting as much distance as I can between her and me.
A glass wall would be amazing at this end of the room, Gia says. It will really open out this whole space.
Anna smiles, but keeps her counsel and takes my hand. Taylor weaves through the evening traffic back to Escala. What did you think? I ask Anna.
Of Gia?
I nod.
The Gia show,
she says. Yeah, she has a lot of personality, but she has some great ideas, and we've seen her portfolio. It's impressive. Anna bursts out laughing.
Yes, her impressive portfolio was on full display.
I laugh. I don't know what you mean. Anna arches a brow, and I laugh again and take her hand. Thank you for being funny, I whisper and kiss her knuckles. What do you think? Should we find someone else?
She did have some good ideas.
Anna sounds almost begrudging, but she smiles.
Let's see what she comes back with.
Agreed. Shall we go out to eat? We've been cooped up enough at Escala.
Is it safe?
I think so. I turn and catch Taylor's eye in the rearview mirror. Columbia Tower, please, Taylor.
Yes, sir.
Mile High Club? I suggest to Anna.
Suits me.
I clasp her hand.
I did like her idea for opening up the view from the back of the house,
Anna says. Yes, me too, but we're in no rush. She smiles once more.
I love your ivory tower.
I love having you there. Her eyes meet mine and her expression is suddenly serious.
I'm glad, because you're about to commit to having me there for a lifetime.
Whoa. I swallow.
This is huge. A whole lifetime with Anastasia.
Will it be enough?
Good point. Well made, Miss Steele.
And from nowhere, I'm overwhelmed with a depth of feeling that has become all too familiar, but it's still new and shiny and terrifying. I'm happier than I've ever been before, but I'm afraid, too. It could all end. Everything could come crashing down. Life is ephemeral. I know this. I've lived it. From nowhere, the image of a pale, still young woman comes to mind. She's lying on a grubby rug in a grubbier room as a small child tries in vain to shake her awake. Shit, the crack whore. No, don't think about her. Reaching over, I take Anna's face between my hands, memorizing every detail, the shape of her nose, her full lower lip, her stunning eyes. I want her with me for a lifetime. I close my eyes and kiss her, pouring all my fear into her. Don't ever leave me. Don't die. Saturday, July 23rd, 2011.
What do you think Elliot has planned?
Anna is sprawled over me, her index finger making small circles through my chest hair. It's a weird sensation, one that I'm not entirely comfortable with. Enough. I grab her hand, threading my fingers through hers, and plant a kiss on the tip of the offending digit.
Too much?
She whispers. I slide her finger into my mouth, clamping my teeth gently around her knuckle and teasing the tip with my tongue.
Ah!
She coos as a sensuous spark ignites in her eyes and she tips her pelvis against my thigh. Baby. She tugs her hand and I relax my jaw, but close my lips as she eases her finger out of my mouth. She tastes mighty fine. Tenderly, she kisses the spot on my chest that her finger traced while I stroke her hair and revel in this quiet moment. It's early, and the only items on today's agenda are my bachelor party, Anna's bachelorette party, and a shopping excursion with Caroline Acton. Anna raises her head.
Do you think he'll take you to a strip joint?
A chuckle rumbles in my chest. Strip joint? Anna giggles.
I don't know what they're called.
I sigh and close my eyes, envisioning the hell that Elliot probably has planned. Knowing Elliot, it's a distinct possibility.
I'm not sure how I feel about that,
Anna replies, tartly. I grin and, rolling over, press her into the mattress.
Why, Miss Steele? Do you disapprove?
I run my nose down hers and she squirms beneath me.
Deeply.
Jealous? She makes a face. I'd rather be here with you, I reassure her.
You're not really a party animal, are you?
She says.
No, more the loner.
I figured this out.
Her teeth graze my chin.
Could say the same about you,
I murmur.
I'm the wallflower nose in a book type.
I skim my lips from her ear to her throat. You're too beautiful to be a wallflower. She groans and runs her fingernails over my shoulder blades as her body rises to welcome mine. She's still slick and wet from earlier, and I ease into her and we move together, slower and sweeter this time. Her nails dig into my back as she wraps her legs around mine and she raises her hips to meet me, over and over, slow and sweet. She's building. I stop.
Christian, don't stop, please.
She begs.
I love it when you beg, baby.
I move slowly and grip her hair at her nape with both hands so she cannot turn her head. I gaze down at her, marveling at the intricate color of her irises. I move again, slowly, in, out, and then stop once more.
Christian, please.
She breathes.
It will only ever be you, Anna. Always. Don't be jealous.
I love you. I start once more. She closes her eyes and tips her head back and comes around me, triggering my own orgasm. With a cry, I fall to her side to catch my breath. When I resurface, I turn over and pull her to me, kissing her hair. I love waking up to Anna. Closing my eyes, I imagine every Saturday could be like this. Anastasia Steele has given me a meaningful future, something I've not considered with any seriousness before. And next Saturday, I get the piece of paper that proves it. She'll be mine. Until death do us part. Anna lying on the cold, hard floor flashes before my eyes. No. I rub my face. Stop, Gray. Stop. I kiss her hair, breathing in her life-affirming fragrance, and I'm calmer. It must be about 9 a.m. I grab my phone from my nightstand to check the time. There's a text from Elliot.
Good morning, asshole. I'm sitting in your vast living room waiting for you to get your lazy ass out here. Stop what you're doing, now, you dirty dog.
What the hell?
What is it?
Anna asks, looking tousled and fuckable.
Elliot's here.
Outside? Anna sounds bemused. I ease her out of my embrace.
No, he's here.
She frowns.
Yeah, I don't understand it either.
I get up, stalk into my closet, and drag on a pair of jeans. Elliot is sprawled on my couch, staring at his phone.
Good morning, hotshot. About time.
He hollers.
Glad you dressed for the occasion.
He eyes my naked chest and feet with amused disdain.
What in God's name are you doing here, dude? It's 9 a.m.
Yep. Surprise. Get your ass in gear. I got the day planned.
What?
I'm supposed to take Anna shopping. He scoffs, disgusted.
She's a grown woman. She can do her own damn shopping.
But, dude, I'm saving you. Shopping with women is hell. Go, put some clothes on, you pervert, and for fuck's sake, have a shower. I can smell the sex from here.
Fuck off, I reply, without heat. He really is a douche sometimes.
You'll need hiking boots and sneakers,
he calls after me.
Both?
How did you get in? I ask as we head down to the garage in the elevator.
Taylor?
Ah, that's why we have no security following us.
Yep, I figured you were leaving with me, so you'd be fine. Your man Taylor was reluctant, but I persuaded him.
I nod, pleased. Being continually dogged by our close protection team has been wearing. Anna and I have been holed up at Escala for what feels like forever. Sawyer and Reynolds will keep an eye on her today, though. That's non-negotiable. He's been very helpful, Elliot says.
Who?
Taylor. And with that, he hides his sly smile and stops talking. What does he have planned? Elliot is in an ebullient mood. It's catching. We're cruising in his pickup north along I-5. Where exactly are we going? I ask, over the god-awful yacht rock blasting through the cab. Surprise! He shouts. Relax, it's going to be fine. It's too late to tell him I'm not a fan of surprises, so I sit back and enjoy the cityscape as we head out of Seattle. We haven't spent any time together since we went mountain biking near Portland. That was a most interesting night. The first night I slept with Anna. The first night I slept with anyone. And Elliot fucked Anna's best friend. But then Elliot has fucked many of the women with whom he's come into contact. It's not surprising, really. He's good company, easygoing, good-looking, I suppose. Women flock to him, I'll give him that. He puts them at ease. He's always been able to charm our mother. He knows how to treat Grace. I used to envy the easy way he'd spin her around the kitchen floor or hug her or give her a passing peck on her cheek. He makes it look easy. As yet, he shows no signs of settling down. And if he does, I hope to God it's not with Kavanaugh. I send a quick text to Anna. No idea what Elliot has in mind. This is not how I plan to spend the day. Enjoy your shopping experience with Caroline Acton. Missing you. Kiss.
Missing you too. Love you. A. Kiss.
Elliot leaves I-5 for the 532. Kameno Island? I ask. He winks at me, which is annoying. I check my watch, then my phone.
Dude, what gives? She'll be fine without you, for fuck's sake. Show some dignity. I packed some snacks. I know how disagreeable you get without food.
Snacks? Where? He opens the car caddy, revealing subs, chips, and Coke. Ah, all of life's pleasures, if you're Elliot. Nutritious, I mutter dryly.
It's all good stuff, bro. Quit complaining. This is your bachelor party.
I laugh because chips and Coke is not my idea of a good time. Subs, on the other hand. I smirk at my little private joke and reach for a can of Coke. About 5 miles into Kameno Island, Elliot turns right. We drive through a farm gate, into an open pasture, along a track, and up to a barn, where he pulls into a parking lot.
We're here.
Where is here?
Friend's place. It's not open to the public yet, but it will be soon. We're guinea pigs.
What?
Well, I figured marriage is pretty much a high-wire activity. I thought you should get some practice.
What are you talking about?
We're going ziplining.
He grins and clambers out of the car. This
is my bachelor party?
It is not what I was expecting. But hey, ziplining could be fun. Elliot greets our hosts, and we're directed into the barn, where a series of hooks hold the safety equipment. Hard hats, harnesses, straps, and carabiners. It all looks reassuringly familiar.
Hey, Hotshot, these harnesses are damned freaky. We could get up to some kinky shit in these.
Elliot blurts as he slips his on. And for once, I'm at a complete loss as to what to say. Does he know? Are the tips of my ears red? Shit, has Anna talked to Kate? Elliot looks his usual guileless self, so I assume not, because if he knew, he'd have razzed the shit out of me.
You're an idiot. This is like a shoot,
I reply. Distraction is the best policy.
Got a new sailplane last week. You should come out to Ephrata for a day and we can take her up.
For two?
Yep.
That would be super cool. We're on the first platform surrounded by pine trees.
To infinity and beyond!
Elliot shouts and leaps off, with all the fearlessness that I associate with his devil-may-fucking-care attitude. He whoops like a gorilla in heat as he whizzes down the line, his joy contagious. He lands surprisingly gracefully on the next platform, about 100 feet away. Danielle, one of our guides, radios ahead to say I'm set, and clips my lifeline to the zipline trolley.
Ready, Christian?
She asks with an overeager smile. As I'll ever be.
Off you go.
Taking a deep breath, I grab the carabiner beneath the trolley with one hand, my lifeline with the other, and I jump. I fly through the fresh, lush forest, the pulley whistling above me and the summer breeze on my face. I'm on a roller coaster without a car, sailing between the Douglas firs beneath a brilliant blue sky, and it's thrilling and liberating in equal measure. I land safely on the platform beside Elliot and the other guide.
What do you think?
Elliot claps me on the back. I grin. This is pretty fucking excellent. Danielle is last to land on the platform.
That was our first. They get higher and faster.
Bring it, I exclaim. 2 hours later, still buzzing from our high-wire activity, we're back on the road, Elliot behind the wheel.
Bro, as experiences go, that was right up there, I acknowledge. Better than sex?
Elliot cackles.
You've only just discovered it, so probably not.
I'm a little more discerning in my tastes than you are, dude.
I just like to spread the love around. The Big E wants what the Big E wants.
I shake my head with a snort of derision. I do not want to think about the Big E.
Can we get some real food now?
Elliot grins.
Nope, sorry, bro. You don't want a full stomach for what we have planned next. Eat the sub.
Next, Elliot, the zipline was great. There's more?
Oh, yes. Suck it up, Buttercup.
Gingerly, I pick up one of the subs.
Those are made by my own fair hand.
Don't put me off.
The finest bologna, tomato, and provolone cheese this side of the Rockies have gone into those sandwiches.
I'll take your word for it.
You need to broaden your culinary horizons.
With bologna?
Whatever it takes. Unwrap that for me.
I peel off the parchment paper and hand him the dubious-looking creation. He shoves it in his mouth and starts to chow down. It's not a sight for the faint-hearted, and I realize I have no choice. It's bologna or starve. While I eat, I text Anna. Ziplining. That's what Elliot had planned. And bologna sandwiches. I'm living the dream.
LOL. I'm spending a great deal of your money. Not entirely consensually. Caroline Acton is a force to be reckoned with. She reminds me of you. Stay safe with whatever Elliot throws at you. Love you and miss you. Kiss, kiss, kiss.
I love it when you spend my money. It will very soon be your money, too. We'll report on Elliot's next surprise. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Elliot drives smoothly off I-5 onto the 2. Where the fuck are we going? I thought we were headed back to Seattle.
Surprise,
he responds to my questioning look. Seems to be his word of the day. 15 minutes later, he pulls into the parking lot at Harvey Airfield.
Hey, there's a steakhouse here. We could have had some real food.
I grumble.
Maybe later. We've got a class to catch.
Class?
Come on, hotshot. You've not guessed it yet.
He drives past the steakhouse.
No. We're taking the plunge because you're taking the plunge.
What the hell? Elliot puts me out of my misery.
Skydiving.
Oh, okay.
Fuck.
It'll be great. I've done a tandem jump before. It's wild.
Of course he has.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, sure.
Listen, you get married and women don't let you do this shit. Come on. Together we walk through the parking lot toward the skydiving school, and my heart races. I like to be in control. Tandem jumping means someone else is in control, and I'm strapped to them. And they're touching me at a great altitude.
Hell.
I've been as high up as 15,000 feet in my sailplane and 20,000 feet in Charlie Tango. But then I was seated and piloting an aircraft that could fly, leaping out of a plane into the sky at height. Never Shit. But I cannot, simply cannot, wimp out in front of Elliot. I swallow my apprehension as we enter the building. My brother has booked us an exclusive jump. After a short informative video, we sit through a briefing with Ben, our instructor, and I'm grateful that it's just Elliot and me in the class. I was coached on how to use a parachute as part of my glider training, but I've never actually done a jump. While Ben is explaining what we need to do and what to expect, it occurs to me that I haven't provided this training for Anna. She needs to do this before she goes up in Ash 30 again. When Ben, who looks younger than me, has completed our instruction, he hands us each a waiver. Elliot signs it immediately, while I read through. My anxiety begins to climb, settling in my stomach. I am about to jump out of an aircraft from a high altitude. Deep breath, Gray. I realize that if something were to happen to me, Anna would be left with nothing. To hell with that. Once I've signed the form, on the back I write, "This is my last will and testament. In the event of my death, I leave all my worldly goods to my beloved fiancée, Anastasia Steele, to be dispensed with as she sees fit. Signed, Christian Gray. Date, 7/23/2011. I take a quick photo with my phone and zap it to Roz before handing the signed waiver back to Ben, who laughs. "You'll be fine, Christian. Just preparing for all eventualities." I give him a quick, forced smile. He laughs again. "Okay, let's get you suited up." We leave the building and head across the tarmac to an open-air hangar where all the safety gear is located. Chutes, helmets, and harnesses. I'm detecting a theme. Elliot swaggers to the hangar as if he doesn't have a care in the world. It's infuriating, and right now I envy him more than ever. Ben hands us each a jumpsuit. Literally, a jumpsuit. Whoa. "Hey, hotshot, more kinky shit," Elliot crows as he pulls the safety harness over his attire. I roll my eyes and turn to Ben. I apologize for Elliot. He only speaks asshole. "You two related?" Ben asks. Elliot and I exchange a look. Yes, but no, but yes. "Brothers," Elliot responds, looking at me, and we both break into that secret smile that adopted siblings share. Ben knows he's missing something, but says nothing, and helps first Elliot, then me, into our harnesses. It's decided that I will tandem jump with Ben, and we're joined by Matt, who will tandem jump with Elliot. Another instructor, Sandra, tags along, complete with a GoPro to film the whole escapade. "Hi," Matt says as he shakes our hands. "Special occasion? My brother's bachelor party. He's experiencing the last gasp of freedom," Elliot says. "Congratulations," Matt says. "Thanks," I mutter dryly. "This is a surprise." "Good surprise?" Jury's out. Matt laughs. "You'll love it. Let's go. Pilot's ready." The five of us make our way across the runway to the waiting single-engine Cessna. Last chance to change your mind, Gray. There are only two seats at the front of the plane, behind the pilot, but Matt and Ben sit down on the floor and motion for us to sit in front of them. We comply, and they start the process of buckling us into their harnesses. As his hands move over the straps, I realize that I'm not unnerved by the physical contact with Ben. He'll have my life in his hands. "You flown before?" he asks, raising his voice above the sound of the engine. "I'm a qualified commercial pilot," I respond. "Rotorcraft, and I have a couple of sailplanes. This'll be easy for you." My laugh is hollow. "Yeah, no, I'm a pilot for a reason. I'm in control." I take a deep breath as the plane leaves the runway and begins its ascent. Snohomish Valley falls away as we climb higher and higher into the cloudless sky. Matt and Elliot are talking crap. Ben joins in. I block them out and think of Anna. What's she doing? Is her wardrobe complete? I think of her in my arms this morning, wrapped around me. I place my hand on my chest where her finger traced small circles. Calm, Gray. Calm. As we near 12,000 feet, Ben hands me a leather cap, complete with chin strap and some goggles. As I put them on, he runs through a quick reminder of all that I need to know. The other instructor opens the rear door. The draft is almost deafening. Shit, this is happening.
You got that?
Ben shouts, referring to his quick refresher.
Yes.
Ben checks the altimeter on his right wrist.
It's time. Excited? Let's go.
We shuffle toward the open door. The sound of the single engine and the wind rush even more thunderous. I glance at Elliot, who gives me a thumbs up sign and a fuck you grin.
You asshole!
I yell, and he laughs. I cross my arms and clutch onto my harness like my life depends on it, because my life depends on it. Then I'm hanging, attached to a man I don't know, over fucking Washington and the Snohomish Valley. I squeeze my eyes shut, and for the first time in a billion years, offer a prayer to the god that abandoned me years ago. Then I open them again. Whoa. I can see the Cascades, Possession Sound, the San Juan Islands, and nothing but air beneath me.
Here we go!
Ben shouts and launches us out of the aircraft.
Fuck!
I bellow. And I'm flying, really flying, above the earth. Either I don't have time to be afraid or the adrenaline streaking through my body has blotted out the fear. It's super exhilarating. I can see for miles. And because I'm not behind glass or plastic, it's hyper-real. I'm in the sky, cloaked in it. It's holding me up. The rushing sound of air as we dive to the ground is familiar, like an old friend. I free my hands and hold them out to feel the wind racing through my fingers. Ben holds a thumb up in front of my face, and I return the compliment. This is beyond amazing. Scanning above, I get a glimpse of Elliot and Matt. And Sandra comes whooshing past us, the camera turned toward Ben and me. My grin is goofy.
This is great!
I call out to Ben as we surf the sky. I see Ben raise his wrist. We're at 5,000 feet. He tugs at his ripcord and we slow immediately as above us a multicolored canopy unfurls. The nature of the dive changes from terminal velocity to slow motion, and all is quiet as we hang in the air. My anxiety evaporates, replaced by an inner calm that surprises me. I'm on top of the world, quite literally walking on air. Ben's got this. He knows what he's doing. And from somewhere deep in my mind, the thought materializes in my head. I hope that my marriage to Anna is this thrilling and this easy. The view is breathtaking. I wish she were here. Though it would give me a coronary watching her jump out of a plane.
Want a steer?
Ben asks.
Sure.
He hands me the risers. I tug on the left and we turn slowly and gracefully in a wide circle.
Dude, you've got this,
Ben calls, patting my upper arm. We do another circle before Ben takes the risers back in order to steer us toward the landing zone. The ground is approaching at speed, and I lift my knees as instructed as Ben gently drops us to the ground. We both land on our asses, and the ground team is there to welcome us. Ben unclips his harness from mine, and I stand, feeling a little unsteady from the adrenaline rush. Behind us, Elliot and Matt land, Elliot whooping like a gorilla again, his favorite form of expressing excitement. I pause and catch my breath.
How was it?
Ben asks.
Man, that was sublime, thank you.
Great!
He offers a fist bump, and I return it. Elliot rushes over to join us.
Fuck, man, I exclaim.
Rad, huh?
I was shitting bricks.
I know. It's good to see you finally losing your fucking cool for once. It's a rare event, bro.
Elliot laughs, but his grin reflects mine.
Better than sex?
He asks.
No, but close.
15 minutes later, we're back in his pickup.
Dude, I could use a drink after that, I say, and I can't shake my shit-eating grin.
Me too.
Well, we're going to part three of your bachelor party. Fuck, there's more?
Elliot clams up. Smug asshole. He's not telling me. I check my phone.
Home. We shopped till we dropped. I'm going to have a bath, then get ready to meet Kate. I haven't heard from you. You know I worry. A. Kiss, kiss, kiss.
We were skydiving from 12,000 feet. You were right to worry, but it was amazing. Reminds me, you need parachute training. If I don't see you, enjoy your night out, but not too much.
Skydiving, wow. Glad you're safe. Parachute training? Didn't we do that last weekend in the Red Room? Wink.
I laugh out loud. What? Elliot asks. I shake my head. Nothing. Elliot drives back to Escala, though this time he lets me play some decent music from his phone. As we ride the elevator up to the penthouse, he says, "You need to get changed, something smarter." "What have you got planned?" He winks. "Asshole."
"That's a given."
He grins. The doors to the elevator open, and I'm hoping to see Anna. "My gear is in your spare bedroom. I'll see you down here in half an hour. We're leaving then." "Okay." I'm hoping to catch Anna in the bath. She's not in the living room, and I worry that she's left already, but I find her in the bedroom. Halting on the threshold, I watch quietly as she adds the final touches to her makeup. Wow. Anna looks stunning. Her hair is styled in an elegant chignon. She's wearing high heels and an off-the-shoulder black dress that shimmers. She turns and is startled when she sees me. She takes my breath away. Hanging from her ears are her second-chance earrings. "I didn't mean to spook you," I whisper. "You look lovely." She smiles her warm, welcoming smile that's full of love. It swells my heart, and she sashays toward me.
"Christian, what a lovely surprise. I wasn't expecting to see you."
She raises her lips to mine, and I give her a quick kiss, then pull back. She smells of heaven and home. If I kiss you properly, I'm going to mess up your makeup and peel you out of that elegant dress.
"Oh, that would never do."
She giggles and does a quick twirl. Her skirt flares up slightly, revealing a little more leg.
"You like?"
she asks. I lean against the door jamb and cross my arms. "It's not too short. I approve." "You look great, Anna. Who's going to be there?" I narrow my eyes, feeling at once ridiculously proud that she's mine, but also territorial. She's mine.
"Kate, Mia, some girlfriends from WSU. Should be fun. We're starting with cocktails."
"Mia." Anna nods. "I haven't seen her in a while. Say hi from me. I hope there's food on your itinerary." I arch a brow in warning. "Drinking rule number one." She laughs.
"Oh, stow your twitchy palm, Christian. We're having a meal."
"Good." I don't want her getting drunk. She glances at her watch.
"I'd better go. I don't want to be late. I'm glad you're back in one piece. I'd never forgive Elliot if anything happened to you."
She offers me her lips once more, and I get another swift kiss. "You look gorgeous, Anastasia." She picks up her evening bag from the bed.
"Laters, baby,"
she says with a coquettish smile, and she struts past me out of the room, looking like $1 million. I follow her out and watch her join Sawyer and Reynolds in the foyer. I salute them, and they all file into the elevator. I head back into my ensuite for a quick shower. 20 minutes later, dressed in a dark navy suit and crisp white shirt, I'm in my kitchen waiting for Elliot. In the fridge, I find some pretzels. Fuck, I'm hungry. Elliot appears in the doorway. He's wearing a dark suit, a gray shirt, and a tie. Shit. Do I need a tie? Where the hell are we going? No. Sure? Yep. Why are you wearing one? You get to dress like this all the time. I don't. Changes it up for me. Besides, a suit and tie is catnip to women. What about Kavanaugh? Elliot smirks at my questioning look, and Taylor joins us.
Ready, sir?
he asks Elliot. Taylor drives us south on I-5.
Where the fuck are we going, Elliot?
I ask.
Relax, Christian, it's all good.
He looks out of the window, seemingly at ease, while I drum my fingers on my knee. I hate not being in the know. Taylor takes the turn off for Boeing Field, and I wonder if there's some seedy strip club based around here. I glance at my watch, 6:20 p.m. He turns into signature flight support, and behind the terminal, sitting on the tarmac, is the GEH Gulfstream.
What?
I exclaim to Elliot. From his inside jacket pocket, Elliot produces a passport.
You're going to need this.
We're leaving the country? Taylor drops us at the terminal entrance, and I follow Elliot into the building, bewildered.
Elliot!
Kavanaugh's blonde, surfer-dude brother strides up to my brother and shakes his hand. He scrubs up well in his pale gray suit. I note he's not wearing a tie either.
Ethan, great to see you.
Elliot responds and claps him on the back.
Christian?
Ethan shakes my hand.
Hi,
I respond.
Mac!
Elliot exclaims, and Liam McConnell, who works at the GEH shipyard and also looks after my yacht, the Grace, strides toward us.
Mac,
we shake hands.
It's good to see you,
I tell him.
I'd just like you to know that I have no idea what the hell is going on.
He laughs.
Neither do I.
We all laugh and turn to Elliot as Taylor joins us.
You knew about this?
I ask Taylor.
Yes, sir.
His look is earnest and amused in equal measure. I laugh and shake my head.
Shall we go?
Elliot says.
Canada?
I guess.
Correct,
Elliot responds. We are installed in the first four seats of my G550, sipping Cristal champagne and eating the canapes that Sarah, our flight attendant, distributed as we taxied onto the runway. Taylor is at the back, reading a Lee Child novel. Stefan and First Officer Bailey are at the controls.
I'm guessing Vancouver,
I say to Elliot.
Bingo! I figured you might have less of a chance of being recognized behaving badly in British Columbia.
What the hell have you got planned?
Easy, Tiger,
Elliot responds and raises his glass. Once we're airborne, Sarah serves beer and fresh hot pepperoni pizza from a local pizzeria in Georgetown. I think this is a first, pizza in my private jet. But this is Elliot's idea of heaven. Frankly, I'm so hungry, it's mine too. Mac, who's sitting opposite, and I both wolf down our food.
That didn't touch the sides,
Mac says in his Irish brogue. Elliot has had me ziplining and tandem skydiving already today.
Holy shite, no wonder you're starving.
The journey time is less than 50 minutes. When we pull up outside the Vancouver Signature Flight Support Terminal, Taylor is the first off, carrying our passports for the immigration official who has come to meet the plane.
Ready?
Elliot says, unbuckling his seatbelt and standing up to stretch his legs. Taylor is at the wheel of a Suburban on the tarmac. We all pile in, and he sets off for the bright lights of downtown Vancouver. We have a cooler full of beer. My three companions dive in, but I decline.
Man, you are not staying sober tonight.
Elliot splutters in disgust and hands me a beer.
Fuck. I loathe being drunk. With a roll of my eyes, reluctantly I take the bottle.
It's early. We'll be drinking more. I'll need to pace myself. I clink bottles with him, and Mac and Ethan, who are seated behind us.
Cheers, gentlemen.
I take a sip and let the drink linger in my hand. Our first stop is the bar at the Rosewood, Georgia Hotel. I've been before, on business, but never in the evening. Its wood-paneled walls and leather seats give it an old-world charm, and tonight it's heaving with the great and the good of Vancouver. Men in suits, women elegantly dressed, it has a lively vibe. Elliot orders a round, and we sit at a reserved table, and our conversation turns to Ethan's endeavors to get into Seattle University to do a master's in psychology. Since Anna moved out, he's now living with Kate in Anna's old room. Maybe living with his sister is challenging, I wouldn't be surprised. Perhaps that's why he's outpacing us on drinks. He's finished his beer first and volunteers to buy the next round. Mac talks to us about the Grace. He's one of the craftsmen who built her, but it seems he's turning his hand to boat design and has some ideas to make the catamaran we custom build even more aerodynamic. It's weird. I never do this. It's only when Elliot drags me out, usually with his friends, of whom there are many, that I get to enjoy the company of men my own age. Elliot is a social glue, sticking us all together and never letting the conversation lag. He's such a people person. Our conversation moves, inevitably, to the Mariners, then the Seahawks. We're all fans, it would seem, of both teams. By the end of the second round, we've all relaxed into one another's company, and I'm enjoying myself. Okay, drink up. Next stop, Elliot announces. Taylor is waiting outside in the SUV. Ethan is already buzzed. This could get interesting. I'm tempted to ask him about Mia, but part of me doesn't want to know. The next venue is in Yaletown, a district renowned for redeveloped old warehouses that now house hip bars and restaurants. Taylor drops us at a nightclub where dance music pulses into the street, even though it's still relatively early. Inside the dark industrial interior, the bar is doing brisk business and we have a table in the VIP area. I stick with beer while Ethan and Max scan the room, I think to check out the local talent. You're not interested? I ask Elliot. He laughs. Not tonight, hotshot. He side-eyes Ethan, and I wonder if he's holding back the big E because Kate's brother is here. I glance at my watch, curious to know what Anna is doing, and I'm tempted to call Sawyer. Frankly, there's only so much socializing I can tolerate, but our conversation turns to the new house. After another two rounds, Elliot has us on the move again. Taylor is ready with the SUV, and he drives us to the next venue. A strip club. Shit. Dude, don't get uptight. This stop is in the bachelor party rule book. Ethan claps his hands, but his smile doesn't reach his eyes. I think he's just as uncomfortable as I am. Do not, under any circumstances, buy me a lap dance, I warn Elliot. And I'm reminded of a time not too long ago when I was in the dark depths of a private club in Seattle, where anything goes. That was a lifetime ago. Elliot laughs. What happens in Vancouver stays in Vancouver. He winks at me as we're led to another VIP table. This time my brother has ordered a bottle of vodka, which arrives with ceremony. Sparklers and a chorus of women in short red skirts and bikini tops that barely cover their nipples, who are all cheers and enthusiastic applause. I worry for a moment that they're going to sit down with us, but once the shot glasses are lined up, they move on. There are beautiful women everywhere. I watch one, a lithe blonde with dark eyes. She starts to remove her clothes with athletic grace while doing various gymnastic moves and poses on the pole. I can't help thinking that if she were a man, this would be an Olympic sport. Mac is mesmerized, and I wonder if he has a partner. No, I'm single, looking, he says when I ask. His eyes return to the energetic blonde. I nod, but I'm at a loss as to what to say because I'm in no position to offer any relationship advice. I'm still amazed that Anna has consented to be mine. In fact, she's consented to a great many things. I smirk as my mind catapults to thoughts of the Red Room last weekend. Yeah, the memory has an arousing effect on my body. I take out my phone. No, Elliot says. Put it away. My phone? We both laugh, and I sink a shot of vodka. Let's go somewhere else, I say. You don't like it here? No. Jesus, you're one uptight motherfucker. Dude, this is not my scene. Okay, we have one more stop. This was the traditional, customary part of your bachelor party. You know, it's the unwritten law. I don't think Anna would be very impressed. Ethan claps me on the back and I freeze. So don't tell her. And something in his tone puts my hackles up. Are you fucking my sister? Ethan jerks his head back as if I've hit him. Shocked, he raises both his hands.
No, no, dude. No offense, she's attractive and all, but she's just a friend.
Good. Keep it that way.
He laughs, nervously, I think, and downs two shots of vodka. My work here is done.
You going to frighten off all her would-be boyfriends?
Elliot asks.
Maybe.
He rolls his eyes. Let's get you out of here. This place is doing nothing for your mood.
Okay.
We ditch the vodka and I leave an obscene cash tip on the table. Back in the SUV, my humor is restored. Taylor's at the wheel and we're heading out of downtown Vancouver in the direction of the airport. But we don't go back to the plane. Taylor pulls up outside a sprawling, nondescript hotel and casino complex that flanks the Fraser River.
Marriage is a gamble,
Elliot says with a grin. Life is a gamble, dude, but this is more my scene.
I figured. You always beat me at cards,
he responds.
How are you still sober?
It's just math, Elliot. I haven't had that much to drink, and right now I'm grateful.
Elliot and Ethan head for the craps and roulette tables, while Mac favors the blackjack and I the poker table.
There's a respectful but expectant hush in the room. I am $118,000 up, and this is the last game I'm going to play. It's getting late. Behind me, Elliot is watching. I don't know where Ethan and Mac are. The final hand is in play, and both players beside me fold in turn. I have two jacks, and because this is the final game and I'm on a roll, I raise and toss $16,000 worth of chips into the pot. The opponent on my left, a woman who must be in her 50s, folds immediately.
I've got nothing,
she grumbles. My remaining opponent, who reminds me of my dad, glances at me, then back at his cards, and carefully counting out chips, he matches my bet. Game on, Gray. The dealer collects the folded cards and briskly lays out the flop.
Hallelujah.
A jack and a pair of nines. I have a full house. I stare impassively at my rival as he fidgets, checks his cards once more, his lively dark eyes flitting to me and back to his cards. He swallows. He's got jack shit.
Check,
my challenger says.
Showtime, Gray.
Slowly, for full effect, I tap my finger on the green bays, then gather my chips together and place $50,000 into the pot.
Raise, I state.
The dealer responds.
$50,000 raise.
My opponent huffs, picks up his cards, and tosses them in disgust into the center of the table. Inside, I'm dancing. I've made $134,000. Not bad for 45 minutes of play.
I'm done,
says the lady beside me, and she nods in my direction.
Thanks for the game. I've got to go too.
I toss a generous chip to the dealer as a tip, gather the rest of my winnings, and stand.
Good night.
Elliot steps forward and helps me with my chips.
You're a lucky son of a bitch, he says.
Just before midnight, we board the plane. I'll have an Armagnac, Sarah, thank you.
Now you start drinking, Elliot exclaims. We all came out on top,
Mac observes.
Must be your luck rubbing off on us, Christian.
I'll drink to that, says Ethan.
I smile, settling into the plush leather of my seat. Yes, my win is a good omen. What a great way to end a most enjoyable evening. Sunday, July 24th, 2011. As we begin our descent into Boeing Field, I reach for my seatbelt and chuckle to myself. I've spent most of today buckling and unbuckling. Elliot, sitting opposite me, looks up.
What's so funny?
Nothing. I just wanted to say thank you for today. It's been amazing. Elliot glances at his watch.
Technically, it was yesterday.
I had a blast. You've acquitted yourself well as best man. Your one remaining duty is to make a speech. Doesn't have to be a long one. Elliot pales.
Dude, don't remind me.
Yeah. I make a face.
I've still gotta write my vows.
Shit, that's heavy.
He's horrified.
But this time next week, it'll all be over. You'll be married.
Yeah, and on this plane.
Cool, where are you taking Anna?
Europe. But it's a surprise. She's never left the U.S.
Wow.
I know. I never thought that I would... I can't... My voice trails off as a sudden, unexpected surge of emotion sweeps over me. Is it fear, exhilaration, anxiety, or happiness? I don't know, but it's overwhelming.
Fuck. I'm getting married.
Elliot frowns.
Dude, why? You're a good-looking guy. You're a douche, but hey, that's because you're a master of the universe with a big swinging dick.
He shakes his head.
I never understood why you weren't interested in any of Mia's friends. They were always crushing on you. Man, I thought you were gay.
He shrugs. I smile, knowing my whole family thought I was gay. I was just waiting for the right woman.
I think you found her.
His expression softens, but there's a wistful look in his vivid blue eyes. I think I have.
Love suits you,
Elliot says, and I roll my eyes at him because it's possibly the sappiest thing he's ever said to me.
Get a room, boys,
Mac exclaims, and we touch down on the tarmac.
I'm never going to let you forget that you're the only groom in the Pacific Northwest who remained sober at his own bachelor party.
I laugh.
Well, I'm just grateful I'm not handcuffed naked to a lamppost somewhere in Vegas.
Dude, if I ever get married, that's exactly how I'd like to finish my bachelor party, Elliot says.
I'll make a mental note.
Elliot laughs.
Time to wake Ethan.
Taylor is at the wheel of the Q7, driving Elliot and me back to Escala. Mac and Ethan, after some backslapping goodbyes, have already left in a waiting cab.
Thanks for this evening, Taylor,
I say as I stretch out in the back. Elliot looks like he's asleep.
It's been a pleasure, sir.
His eyes meet mine in the rearview mirror, and even in the surrounding darkness, I notice the amused crinkles in the corners. I take my phone out of my jacket pocket. No messages. Have you heard from Sawyer or Reynolds?
Yes, sir,
Taylor responds.
Miss Steele and Miss Kavanaugh are still out.
What? I check my watch. It's after 1 o'clock in the morning.
Where is she?
I swallow my alarm and glance at a comatose Elliot.
At a nightclub.
Which one?
Trinity.
Pioneer Square?
Yes, sir.
Take me there. Taylor's eyes flick to mine, his expression doubtful.
You don't think it's a good idea? I ask.
No, sir.
Damn. Count to 10, Gray. I remember the one and only time I've been in a nightclub with Anna was at that bar in Portland where she was celebrating her final exams. She got so drunk she passed out. In my arms. Shit.
Sir, Sawyer and Reynolds are with her.
This is true. Put yourself in her shoes. Flynn's words nag me. This is her night, with her friends. Gray, leave her be.
Okay, take us back to Escala.
Yes, sir.
I hope I've made the right decision. I rouse Elliot as we pull into the underground garage at Escala.
Wake up, we're here.
I want to go home, but if you want a nightcap or something, I'm up for it.
He can barely open his eyes. Taylor will take you home, Elliot.
I'd like to see you into the apartment first, Mr. Gray,
Taylor says.
Okay.
I sigh, knowing that he's still in mother hen mode, concerned about my safety. He parks beside the elevator and climbs out of the car. Elliot opens his eyes.
I'll stay in the car,
he mutters. I reach over to shake his hand, but he grabs it forcibly.
Fuck off with your fucking handshake,
he grumbles and tugs me into an awkward embrace, which is clumsy and male and welcome. Don't crease the suit, I warn, feeling oddly touched by his gesture. He releases me. Good night, bro. I slap his knee. Thanks again. Do you need the stuff you left here? I'll be back Friday night for the rehearsal dinner. Okay. Good night, Lilliot. He grins and closes his eyes. Taylor accompanies me up to the penthouse. You know you don't have to do this, Taylor. It's my job, sir. He looks straight ahead. Are you armed? Taylor's eyes flick in my direction. Yes, sir. I loathe firearms. I wonder if he took the gun to Canada, and if so, how he got it through security. But I don't want to know the gory details. Plausible deniability. Why don't you ask Ryan to take Elliot home? He must be exhausted.
I'm good, Mr. Gray.
Thank you again for your part in all the organization of today. He turns to me with a warm smile.
It was a pleasure.
The doors to the penthouse open, and I wander in. Ryan is standing, waiting for me.
Good evening, Mr. Gray.
Ryan, hi. All quiet tonight?
Yes, sir. Nothing to report. Do you need anything?
No, I'm fine. Good night. I leave him in the foyer and amble into the kitchen. From the fridge, I pull a bottle of sparkling mineral water, unscrew the top, and start to drink directly from the bottle. My apartment is quiet. The low hum of the fridge and the distant rumble of traffic are the only sounds I hear. The place feels empty. Because Anna's not here. My footsteps echo across the room as I meander to the window. The moon is high, and it shines in a clear night sky with the promise of another halcyon day, like today. Anna is near, under the same moon. She'll be home soon, surely. I lean my forehead against the glass. It's cool, but not cold. As I let out a long sigh, my breath mists the pain. Shit. I saw her a few hours ago, and yet I'm missing her. For fuck's sake, Gray. You've got it bad. Pull yourself together. I've had the most fulfilling day. Carefree, adventurous, sociable. Flynn would be proud. I remember when we first sailed on the Grace, Anna asked me if I had any friends. Well, now I can say yes. Maybe. I don't understand why I'm suddenly feeling despondent. A familiar sense of loneliness is creeping into my psyche. I recognize its key ingredients, the emptiness, the longing, like I'm missing something. I've not felt it since I was a teenager. Hell. I haven't felt lonely for years. I've had my family, though I've kept them at a distance. And there was Elena, of course. And I've been content with my own company and the occasional company of my submissives. But now, without Anna here, I'm lost. Her absence is an ache, a scar on my soul. The silence is becoming intolerable. I would have thought after all the noise of this evening, the bars, the nightclub, the casino floor, I would welcome some quiet. But no. The silence is oppressive, and it's making me melancholy. Fuck this. I stalk over to the piano, lift the lid, and settle onto the stool. Taking a moment to gather my thoughts, I place my hands on the keys, enjoying the grounding feel of the ivory beneath my fingertips. I begin to play the first piece that comes to mind, the Bach Marcello, and I'm soon lost in the morose melody that perfectly reflects my mood. The second time through the composition, I'm distracted by a noise. Shh. I look up, and Anna is standing by the kitchen counter, swaying slightly. She's carrying her strappy high heels in one hand, and she's wearing what looks like a plastic tiara that may have perched on the top of her head at one time, but is now looking decidedly lopsided. A sash with the word bride in an elaborate serif hangs over her shimmering black dress. She has her index finger at her lips. She is, without doubt, the most beautiful girl in the world. And I'm delighted she's home. Behind her, Sawyer and Reynolds are stony-faced. Rising from the stool, I tip my chin at them in thanks. They smile as one and leave us. Anna turns and stumbles a little to watch them leave.
Bye!
She almost shouts and waves them away with a wide sweep of her arm. She's clearly intoxicated. Turning back to face me, she rewards me with the biggest, warmest, most drunken smile and stumbles toward me.
Mr. Christian Grey!
I catch her before she falls and fold her into my arms, and she gazes up at me with unfocused joy. Her expression feeds my soul. Miss Anastasia Steele, how lovely to see you. Did you have fun?
The best.
Please tell me you had something to eat.
Yes, food has been eaten.
She drops her shoes and they clatter on the floor while she winds her arms around my neck. Can I fix your crown? I try to straighten her tiara.
You fixed my crown long ago.
She slurs. What?
You have the most beautiful mouth.
She runs her index finger shakily over my lips. Do I?
Yes. You do things to me with that mouth.